heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. This is the word of the Lord.
Hello, everybody. My name is James. I'm the minister in training here. It's really lovely to see lots of new faces, so I'd love to come and meet you after the service. Do you keep your Bibles open? We'll be looking at just three verses today, 7 to 10. We're just in that big section for the next couple of weeks. But let me pray before we kick off. Father, we ask again that your word really would feed us and nourish us and equip us and train us for righteousness and for living for you. And we pray that the Spirit, your Spirit, would open our hearts and open our eyes to see who you really are. And we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Clickers on. Do you ever feel like this fish, the orange one? Like you're swimming against the tide, where it seems like everybody is swimming in the other direction to you. Do you ever feel like that? Especially if you're a Christian, I think this really does resonate with you. Are you going in the right direction in life, or has everybody else got it right and you've got it wrong? This little fish, he's a Christian. He was actually here last week, and he knows he's blessed because he's looked at verse 3 in the passage. Praise be to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing. He knows he's loved before time. He's chosen with a destiny. But because everybody is going in the complete opposite direction, they're living a totally different life to him, he wonders if he's got it all right. That's the same with us, right? I mean, all you have to do is look around you. Christians are the minority, not in here, in the wider world. We are the minority. And even though you go to a solid Bible-believing church like Windsor Fellowship Church, I think it's still easy to think that maybe the world's got it right. When you see a program on TV and you think, maybe science has got it right, or secularism has got it right, or maybe you even look at another religion thriving and you think, wow, maybe they've got it right. And you doubt that you're swimming in the right direction. But this part of the Bible here today, we're going to see, helps us to never, ever doubt that. We are heading in the right direction as Christians. Amen. Let's first see the direction we were heading in. and what it took to turn us around. We were heading on a path to nowhere, actually. We had to be redeemed from it. We were redeemed from sin's bad consequences. We're redeemed from sin's bad consequences. Look down at verse 7. In him we have redemption through his blood, Jesus' blood, the forgiveness of sins. Redemption just means released by payment. Released by payment. We don't really use that word much in English, but kind of think of vouchers for a minute. Imagine you've got a voucher for something, McDonald's or something, for a free Big Mac. And to use that voucher, McDonald's has to redeem that voucher. To redeem it, you hand in that voucher, they pay the price, and you get something from it. In the same way, we were in a situation where we could not pay the price. But Christ redeemed us. He paid the price. And now we get something back from that. Redemption, I think, also has a released from slavery kind of connotation. And it's kind of from back in the Old Testament when the Israelites were redeemed from slavery. They were enslaved, but the lamb's blood, well, that lamb paid the price to set them free. And now they're redeemed. And similarly, we were enslaved, not physically, but to sin. See that in the verse? That's a way of life that caused us to head in the wrong direction. It's rebellion against God. But we were released. We were redeemed from that by Christ. He paid the price. That verse says that what we got from that was the forgiveness of our sins. What's sin? What's sin, somebody might say? How could that enslave me? A few white lies? Why would that require blood? Someone dying to pay the price? It's a bit extreme. Well, it's an extreme big price because our sin debt was enormous. We've got hundreds upon thousands of ring binders worth of sin as a record, ready to put on the judge's desk to condemn us. All the times you've lied, you've stolen, you've looked at a man or a woman with lust. All the times you've spoken badly about someone behind their back. All the times you've not thanked God for every incredible gift that he's given you. All recorded, all stacked up against you as evidence. And it led to the undeniable guilty verdict. It led to the impossible prospect of release. We were enslaved. And it led to God's wrath. Scan briefly over the page of chapter 2. These trespasses and sins in chapter 2 verse 1, they led us in the wrong direction to the end of verse 3 in chapter 2. Verse 3, chapter 2. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving wrath. That's what sin got us. Our indisputably guilty verdict led to God's anger. There's no easy way of saying that, really. We were shackled in a prison on a conveyor belt to eternal death. And that's not the right path. That's not the right way to swim. Sin has bad consequences. But come back to chapter 1. Enjoy this phrase afresh in verse 7 now in chapter 1. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our sins. An enormous debt required an enormous price. Praise Jesus for what he did on the cross. He came down to earth to die for us, to go on a Roman cross and shed his blood to pay the ransom price. That was the price that had to be paid, to clear that, the stacks and stacks of sin debts that we had, so that we could be released from the terrible consequences of sin. Our court documents that were once stamped condemned in our own blood are stamped forgiven in his. But you notice, we have redemption now. It's present tense. Look at the verse. In him, we have redemption. Isn't that amazing? I think we need to be really clear on this. I don't think I'm always perfectly clear on this in my own head. If we only had our past sins paid for, can you imagine? We'd still be guilty people. Even from the last couple of hours, I think that sin, well, it would make us guilty. There's no question. But we are not guilty people. We are now, currently, presently, forgiven people. We have redemption. All sins, past, present and future, are gone. Every sin you commit as a repentant Christian, well, the slate is wiped clean. Clean. Every time you repent, you can know that your Heavenly Father is smiling down on you right now. Now. He's not holding any grudges when you pray or when you live your Christian life. Isn't that wonderful? It's pure grace. It's pure grace. Look at again at verse 7. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. Not just God's grace, the riches of God's grace. I love that. And he lavished upon us grace. God's riches at Christ's expense. I think it's a good definition. This means we don't work for our salvation. We don't earn this. It's totally free for us. But they're riches at Christ's expense, aren't they? Incomprehensibly costly for him, but the result is just so wonderful for us, isn't it? God, even though it cost him everything, he doesn't give us the dregs of his grace. He lavishes it upon us. Everything. And we can say, verse 3, praise be to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Praise be. He stopped us from going in the wrong direction. This is the direction that everybody else is going in, isn't it? That we've just seen. It's quite a sobering thought, don't you think? So what is this new direction that we've been put in after we've been redeemed? Well, now that we have redemption, we're caught up to be in God's big plan. Redeemed from sin's bad consequences, to be caught up in God's big plan. Look at verse 9. Verse 9, he, God, made known to us the mystery of his will. Let's stop there. His will, his plan. It's the same thing. We often ask, what is God's will? What is God's plan for my life? Well, let's read on to see it. Here's a slightly kind of more clarifying translation. Just one little phrase that's more clarified. He made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times reached their fulfillment, to bring all things under one head in heaven and on earth, under Christ. Our translation says, unite all things. It means the same thing on the screen. To bring all things under one head, under Christ. God's plan is that through Christ, everything will be ruled by Christ. A Christ-ruled universe is the plan. That's the plan. Everything after Genesis 3, well, it's a topsy-turvy universe. This is what it's like. God on the bottom, the universe, evil and Satan on top. We try to rule. And let's be honest, our deep in our sinful hearts, we'd love to be king of the universe, wouldn't we? For everything to revolve around us. But God's plan for the fullness of time is so that the universe is put back into order. So that Jesus is king. So not this. Evil at the top, God at the bottom. But this. Christ rules, and all the unredeemed, evil, are defeated. But here's a question for you. How much does it feel like that this is the plan for the universe? I mean, really? Again, look around you. Just put yourself in the mindset of tomorrow, wherever you are in the world. Does it look like Christ is king of the universe? So much of this world is anti-Christ. We're the minority. It looks to some actually like maybe some big corporations are ruling, or to others like the government rules. You can imagine to a Ukrainian Christian what this would feel like. Putin's on the throne, not Christ. Or to some of you, it might just feel like the bullies at school trampling all over you. Whatever your situation is, it doesn't always look like the universe is ruled by Christ, does it? Well, brothers and sisters, we need to know this from this passage, that Christ is ruling. Because even though it doesn't feel like Christ is ruling, the mystery of this verse that this reveals to us is that it is. It is. Christ is currently seated in the heavenly places. You can look at this if you want to. Chapter 1, verse 22. And God placed all things under his feet. This is Jesus' feet. And appointed him to be head over everything for the church. Christ is now currently head of all things. But even though Christ is the king, he is. What verse 22 says. Not everyone recognizes or acknowledges his kingship, do they? In other words, the plan is not finished yet. But it's a plan that can't be stopped. One day, and it'll be a glorious day. Verse 10 will be fulfilled. It will be complete. All things in heaven, the verse says, things on the earth, will be united in Christ. They'll be ruled under the headship of Christ. No matter how powerful things seem, or how influential people might seem, or how much it feels like Christians, I just think, are laughably countercultural. Or how much we think we're swimming against the tide. Praise be to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. We know that the plan has been put in place. Christ is the head. And God's plan is the unstoppable tide where everything is heading. Do you know what the most wonderful part of these verses is? Well, we're blessed in this plan. We're not only redeemed from the wrong direction, from sin's bad consequences, but we're now caught up in God's big plan. To be caught up in God's big plan. We're caught up in the plan because we are in Christ. You know what that means? Do you notice that it says the plan was purposed in Christ? But we're in Christ too. So we're caught up in that plan. Why? Because being in Christ means that you go where Christ goes and you get what Christ gets, what in Christ means. It's a common illustration, but it's kind of like having an envelope. Christ is like the envelope, we're like the letter. Envelope gets posted, so does the letter. Christ gets blessed, we get blessed. God's big plan is focused in Christ. And we're caught up in that plan too, because we are in Christ. For in a real spiritual sense, we are ruling in the heavenly places. God's big plan has been set in motion for us too. But this also means that we have been put on the right track to go in a different direction. Where? Well, to the fulfilled verse 10, where all things are under Christ and he's redeemed. Let me just put this out there lovingly. It means that if you're not redeemed, if you're not a Christian here today, well, you're not going to be caught up in that. You're currently heading in the wrong direction to sin's bad consequences, where they lead to God's wrath. But if you're trusting Jesus here today, which is most of us, you are caught up in Christ's future. As the redeemed, we really are the only people who can say, no matter what the consequences are, it's really going to be okay. It's going to be okay, isn't it? But Christians are caught up in a plan that's better than okay. The end point is a world free from pain, free from evil, free from disease, free from rubbish jobs, free from death. That's what a reordered, perfectly ruled world under Christ looks like. Perfect rulers rule perfect worlds, don't they? And that's where we're heading, a perfect world. Praise be the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ. And we should praise God. We really should. Because those of us who feel like this fish, well, it emotionally and logically kind of feels like we're heading in the wrong direction. Everyone's screaming at you to turn around, stop being a Christian. It's such a waste of time. Well, you think that your friends and your family don't really trust in Jesus. You think they've got it right. Well, this world looks so much more like it's really going in any other direction other than Christ, the headship of Putin or Islam or secularism or anything else. But we are blessed to know today that God has set in motion a plan in Christ, and we are blessed supremely because we are caught up in that plan too. Praise be the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the application. Praising God for his blessings. You've been blessed. So praise God. That's the logic of verse 3 and these verses. We have redemption. We're free. We're not guilty, but forgiven. And we've been stopped from going in the wrong direction so that we're caught up in the plan, the right direction. Praise God for his lavish blessings on us. And Ephesians doesn't want us to kind of just let this wash over us today. It's not just dry theology here. This is rich theology that Paul thinks in verse 3, again, should lead to praise. We see these blessings. So what does Paul think we should do? Praise. So come to terms with these blessings today. Enjoy them. Relish them. And then praise God for them. Let me pray as we close this part of the service. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for what you have done in your Son, in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you that you've blessed him. And thank you that we are in him, and that we are blessed in Christ. Lord, I pray for all of us here, Lord, that we would be those who enjoy these blessings, and that we would come to terms with them, be confident with them, Lord. Help us this week to enjoy you as our Saviour. Amen.